If you were to be asked by someone, what is the absolute, bar none, worst sin you could commit? What answer would you give? Looking at the news and other activists these days, I would probably think it is, you ready? Intolerance. Which covers a multitude of many things. Just throw in whatever it is under intolerance. And you say someone's intolerant, oh my God, that is possibly the worst label you can be given. Others might say, well, murder or abortion, killing the most innocent. Others might say adultery, promiscuity, infidelity. Others might say desecrating the Eucharist. Others might say receiving the Eucharist in the hand is the worst sin you can commit. Others might say, and here's where the homily gets to be PG-13, bordering on R-rated moment, okay? So cover your children's ears now. Would say that the worst sin anyone could commit is, you ready? You've been warned. Being judgmental. The hysterics some people get into when they say, you're judging me. You would think that is the worst sin one could commit. However, when you look at today's gospel, what is it that Jesus says is the worst sin one could commit? When he says very firmly, everything else, even all blasphemies, will be forgiven. But blasphemy against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. And believe it or not, this is consistent. This is consistent with what we see in the Old Testament, and in particular, the Ten Commandments. If one were to ask you, what sin is the one sin that will not be forgiven? You'd say blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, according to Jesus. But in the Ten Commandments, it is designated which of those commandments, when broken, will not go unpunished. And that is the commandment of taking the Lord's name in vain. The entire text reads, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. For God will not leave unpunished anyone who takes his name in vain." How many were aware of that second part of the commandment? I would say, sitting in the confessional for the hours in which I do, my guess is very few people know that part of the commandment. Because often so cavalierly, they'll just simply say, I took the name of the Lord in vain. Well, if the Bible's correct, I have no power whatsoever to absolve that sin. That's not noted in my faculties, by the way. I assume I do, but when we talk about the seriousness of sin, people often very cavalierly will say, I took the Lord's name in vain, which usually means they said the word God with another word following it. Okay, I'll say it. It's damn. Well, when you really think of it, the word itself is not all that bad because it's a shorter version of damnation, which means condemning to everlasting punishment and hell. It's the verb to the noun of damnation. And usually that's what they mean. But when you hear such a thing as God will not leave unpunished those who take the name of the Lord in vain, what could possibly he mean by that? To the point that we are so cavalier in confessing that sin. Well, in many ways, when you understand the text or study the other aspects of the scriptures, what is happening in today's gospel? They're taking the work of Jesus and attributing it to Beelzebub, to Satan. Or also, it could be taking works of evil and attributing it to God. In short, in a nutshell, breaking any of the other Ten Commandments and claiming, this is what God wants me to do, and this is God's will. Attributing evil to God, or attributing evil to the good works that God does, or attributing God to evil works. For example, there are those who commit murder and say, this is the will of God. Or there are those who engage in fashionable promiscuities or adulteries and other illicit lifestyles and say, God made me this way. This must be God's will. These are examples of what it means to take the name of the Lord, your God, in vain. I'm not saying don't use the other word. I think I upset at least one person when I used it earlier, and then attribute that to God, because basically what is the power of God? The power of God is salvation. And when we use God to invoke damnation, that is to a certain degree a misuse of God. Like saying, by the power of God, cast into hell. Of course, we don't hear any prayers that utter that, do we? But attributing the saving power of God and asking it to do the exact opposite of what the saving power of God does. So what do we make of it when people come to, say, confession and very cavalierly say, I took the name of the Lord God in vain? Or basically any other sin that we confess. In many ways, it reflects a cavalier or nonchalant manner in which we may approach our sins, either an overly serious manner in which we're melodramatic about what we've done, or again, kind of a less serious manner where we really aren't sure what we've said or done, but we still confess it anyway. For example, and I'm not breaking any seal of the confessional because you hear it quite frequently and I'm not giving you any names, but some will say, I want to confess my gluttony. And I take a look at the person and how skinny they are. And I'm really doubtful, are they really that guilty of gluttony? Or was it maybe one time they kind of overate, maybe to making themselves sick, and they realize, I really shouldn't do that. But gluttony is a sin against charity. Remember the old Roman proverb, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Even St. Paul talks about that. He says, many of us, our God is our stomach. We eat and drink and just live life to the full, and yet at the same time, there are those who are starving. There are those who are poor. We waste food while we gorge ourselves, and then there are those who are deprived. A much more serious connotation of a deadly sin called gluttony. Or some people might say, I want to confess my sloth. Anyone who's ever come to confession to me knows I engage people, and I'll say, what exactly do you mean, your sloth? And they say, well, I took a nap yesterday afternoon when I could have dedicated it to God. I said, what, your nap? And some people will see a few moments of resting and relaxing when they could be doing something else, and they label it as sloth, the very ominous sin that they attach to it. Or another favorite is, I want to confess my anger. I'd love to meet the nun who taught everyone that anger is a sin. Because whenever I tell them, well, anger isn't a sin, they always, it's like they're pulling rank on me. Well, the nuns taught me that it was. I want to say back to them, well, the priest is telling you otherwise. You know, they pull rank on you. And it's interesting, they get mad when you maybe explain to them that what they confess maybe not be all that bad, because it's not anger that's a sin, but rage. Uncontrollable rage that overcomes you, in which you lose control. And so when we come to confess our sins, with what we see in the scriptures and our call to engage in the act of confession, it's perhaps a good question to ask ourselves, what is the disposition with which we examine our conscience? How do we go about confessing our sins? Are we melodramatic? Are we kind of not as seriously approaching it as we should? Are we true in looking at what we have done in an examination of conscience from the last time we went to confession? Because we can be very cavalier in rather serious things, or rather ominous at times when maybe we shouldn't be so hard on ourselves. Among my favorites, two. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. It's been 3 years since my last confession. I really haven't committed any sins. There's where I want to say, haven't said it yet, but I want to say, well, pride is always a good thing to confess. Because on the one hand, pride says, I don't sin. On the other hand, you have despair that says, I do nothing but sin. They can't seem to cross the street without committing at least 5 venial, maybe 2 mortal sins. And their presumption is, whatever it is, they must have committed some kind of a sin. And we need to be more sober in that approach, keeping in mind the seriousness of some sins and the nature of others. Not that, you know, some sins are less serious or some sins we can live with. I remember the nuns teaching me at one point and asking the question. I was in third grade. If you had the smallest, most minuscule sin you could possibly commit, will God let you into heaven? And the answer to that was no. Because if God could hate anything, God hates sin. And we must have that holiness within us that makes us worthy of eternal life. And there's where we have the sacrament of reconciliation and confession, the sacrament of anointing of the sick, which includes confession, and the tradition of purgatory, in which our sins are purged in one last purification, and whether it's sin or whether it's our human tendency towards sin that is purged. We are purified and must be purified and made holy. And so perhaps for us as Catholic Christians, we're not people who jump the gun. We're not people who are overly melodramatic. And when we come to confess our sins to receive that forgiveness of God, we are called to be sober in our discernment. Not cavalier, not a fly-by-night notion, not poetic and beating around the bush, but simply saying what our sins are. But also, especially, to know our sins. When people come and confess to me, "I took the name of the Lord in vain," I really wonder how many of them have actually done that in light of what it means biblically. But when people come to me and say, "I confess my gluttony," and they are thin as a rake, obviously not people who engage in overeating as a matter of habit and obsession, how seriously do they take that examination of conscience? So as people who acknowledge our sins, we begin Mass by acknowledging our sins. As people who are called to confess our sins as a matter of obligation once a year during the season of Lent, but many, including myself, do it more often. How do we see ourselves before God as we examine our conscience? And what is our disposition in understanding and knowing our sins and conveying it to the priest? Are we melodramatic? Are we cavalier? Or are we sober and serious in truly examining ourselves so that we can come forth and make an honest confession to our sins? Not beating around the bush, not making excuses with excessive background information, not being overly melodramatic and ominous so that we present sins that are more serious than they are, or that we've convinced ourselves so that certain sins are sins when really they aren't, such as being judgmental, but rather that we are true and honest with ourselves so that we can truly know those sins and approach God for forgiveness. And when it comes to the sin that is unforgivable, folks, I very seriously doubt that there's anyone in here who has really committed that sin, taking the Lord's name in vain as it is meant biblically. And especially, okay, let's do a public confession here. Anyone who has out and out blasphemed the Holy Spirit, please raise your hand. I thought so. So let us pray that as we acknowledge our sins, as we come before God in confession, that we do so in a sober manner, in a manner that is true and honest with ourselves, in a manner that recognizes God's goodness and grace when he helps us overcome our temptations and avoid sin, but also with humility and honesty as we truly acknowledge our sins and go before God to confess them and receive his forgiveness.